How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello everyone, we're locked in for episode 171 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review. Once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com, log on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Coming on after the weekend, the Thunder just played. I'm in Houston. They just played in Houston this afternoon. I'm recording this Sunday night in Houston. Oh boy, that was some kind of game. Not a good game. Not a particularly entertaining game. Probably entertaining if you're a Rockets fan, but for the non-biased viewer and certainly for the Thunder fan, I can't imagine it was that great of a game to watch. I didn't enjoy it all that much, to be honest. It was a blowout, wire to wire. The Thunder got within 9 points in the fourth quarter. They lost. They ended up losing 137-125 in like an offensively perfect performance from Houston. The Thunder did not play good defense. There is no question. Their pick and roll coverage was bad. Adams really struggled. He had that stretch where he was really struggling during that four-game losing streak. And he wasn't great during the first couple wins after that, but he kind of started playing well again the last few games. He had some really good defensive performances these last few games, especially pick-and-roll-wise. He's been real solid, and he's been real solid in that all year. I mean, he's one of the best pick-and-roll defending big men in the league. That's what allows the Thunder to be so aggressive with the pick-and-roll coverages, allows him to dart out to the perimeter. He shows hard in those situations because he's so good. The Thunder feel comfortable having kind of more aggressive pick-and-roll coverages because of his abilities, but he was not very good tonight. Enes Kanter ended up closing the game because of it. The Thunder were really down double digits the whole way. They were down 20-some-odd points. Houston's offense was absurd. I mean, it is absurd. After tonight's performance, they're averaging 112.5 points per 100 possessions this year. The Warriors are averaging 113. But 112.5 possessions, that's what Houston is averaging. That's what the Warriors averaged last year. That was the best offense in the NBA in like 30 years. That was the best offensive efficiency in like 30 years in the NBA. But like, that's how good Houston's offense is. And granted, offense around the league is up, so it's not, relative to league average, it's not necessarily the best. It's one of the best. Oh my goodness. That offense is insane. They played a perfect first half, offensively. So on the game, I'm just going to read these through, because this is crazy. Houston was 63% from the field. Highest field goal percentage, 63.3%. Highest field goal percentage for the Rockets since a game in 1995 against the Bucks. That was like the Hakeem team. That's how long ago this was. 22 years ago, the last time they shot 63.3% from the field. They went 20 for 39 from three, 51%. First half was crazier. First half, they were 71% from the field. Over the first three quarters, I mean, everyone talks about how analytically driven this organization is, and it makes the offense so much better, just their shot selection. They don't take mid-range jumpers. They take fewer mid-range jumpers than any other team in the league. They get to the line a ton. They get to the rim. They shoot threes, and they do it wonderfully. They create shots in the corner. It's like this perfect storm. D'Antoni is like the perfect analytics coach, and Harden is the best all-three, all-layup guy in the league, maybe. I guess you could say LeBron. I wonder how LeBron would be in a system like this. Maybe you couldn't contort LeBron to this degree. Maybe you wouldn't want to contort LeBron to this degree, to contort his game like this. I think it's fair to say Harden is the best all-threes, all-layup player in the NBA. Then you got Daryl Morey running it from the top. And what they did, first three quarters of this game, they took 63 shots, and only one of them was a non-paint two. That is crazy that they were able to do that. That one shot, every other shot was a three or a shot at the rim. Every single one, 62 of their 63 shots were threes or shots at the rim. One was a non-paint two. That's it. And that one shot that was a non-paint two was a buzzer beater that Nene had to put up with 0.6 seconds left on the shot clock off an inbounds. And it was all they could get off an inbounds. And that's it. That was the only one. Lou Williams took a shot outside of the paint like late in the game. It killed the streak. That was what I was excited about. And then Lou Williams killed my excitement. Lou Williams, meanwhile, started the game 9-for-9 from the field. 6-for-6 from three. He finished 11-for-15, not 31 points. He was great. He was hitting everything. But look, Thunder defense wasn't good. Adams was off. Robertson got in foul trouble, and you could tell he was more hesitant after that when he was guarding Harden. Harden played great. The Rockets got a lot of open spot-up threes because of that. I didn't think they did a good job defending in the weak corner at all. Defending the weak side at all, really. They were not doing a good job going back out onto shooters. Ariza was getting open corner threes. I mean, Ariza hit six threes. Gordon hit four threes. Harden hit two threes. Williams hit seven threes. They were not defending the perimeter particularly well. And because they were scrambling so much, they gave up shots at the rim, too. Nene was getting shots at the rim. It was just unimpressive defensive performance all around. But my goodness, the way Houston moves the ball, the way they shoot, they're making tough shots, too. Like, Lou Williams was hitting step backs off the dribble from 28 feet. And Harden's hitting pull-ups to beat the buzzer at the end of the third quarter. And, like, that offense is just unbelievable. I'm excited to see what they do in a playoff series. I think they can beat San Antonio. I really do. I think they're really good. I think this team, I mean, people forget this team. It's a very different roster. But after the season they had last year when they won 41 games and they just looked lifeless in the first round against Golden State, people forget 2 years ago, this, you know, the Rockets were in the conference finals. And it's a different roster. That was the Dwight Howard Rockets. And there are different guys. Capella's playing a bigger role now. And Lou Williams is here. And Sam Dekker is a real contributor. And Nene. And, you know, Ryan Anderson, who did not play today, but has had a really strong year. And Eric Gordon. And the roster is obviously very different. But this is a really good organization. And the way they've rebuilt the roster, really just in one offseason, is incredibly impressive in my mind. Russell Westbrook, triple-double, got to note it, 39 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. You know, I don't buy into the fact that he's had empty triple-doubles, but this seemed like an emptier one. Like, they kind of just all came when the Thunder were down 20-some-odd points and hit a good fourth quarter, hit a few threes, led a comeback. He didn't play, like, poorly offensively. He did play poorly defensively. He didn't play poorly offensively. It wasn't that degree, but I didn't think it was like, you know, the last time they played in Houston when he had that 47-point performance, that was a much better performance. He's had, I wouldn't put this, even though the line was incredible, I wouldn't put this as like one of the best Westbrook performances of the year by any means. Something I'm going to ask Billy Donovan, did not ask post-game today, something that I will ask him pre-game tomorrow in Dallas. Why is Taj Gibson not playing more minutes? I do wonder, is it just kind of weird circumstances, and then he will actually end up getting more, because he played 17 minutes in this game. He was doing okay. That was partly because Houston started really small. With Anderson out, they started Eric Gordon, and they started Ariza at the four. And they put Harden on Gibson to start the game. They were going to him early. I think Gibson's good. I think he contributes on both sides of the ball. I'm not necessarily advocating for just giving him the ball and letting him post up and stuff. He's not great as a spacing four or anything like that because he doesn't shoot threes and he doesn't even step out to 20 feet. Like, he steps out to like 16 when he's hanging around mid-range. That's really what his range is. And he steps out to 16, so it definitely cramps spacing. There's no question about that. But it's not like you're going to have another four out there who's going to give you so much spacing. I do wonder how his minutes are going to change. I have a feeling they're going to go up come the playoffs. But I wonder if Billy Donovan wants to make that adjustment before the playoffs, because only 10 more games now. It's only 10 more games now. I'm also starting to wonder what's going on. I mean, I kind of thought Kristen would be out of the rotation by now. Norris Cole would be in. It's another thing that I plan on asking about at some point this week. Just backup point guard rotation. Is Norris Cole going to get another chance to show something? Because he played the last 38 seconds of this game. Otherwise, he didn't play again. Samaje played 16 minutes. He's just unwilling to shoot. He's really unwilling to shoot. And I think it leads to turnovers and guys don't guard the shot. He's really unwilling to shoot at this point. He has opportunities to shoot. He has open layups sometimes, and he just swings it out. And I do think that's a problem. Let's answer some Twitter questions before we go. First one from Chris Hodge. Does OKC just collapse on defense that much, or do they just have the misfortune of playing teams on nights they get really hot? Something I've talked about a little bit before. I've definitely written about it. The Thunder give up a lot of looks in the paint. That's not like a thing that they do sometimes. That has been a problem for them all season. They give up a lot of shots in the paint. So let's find this number. All right, so we got it called up. Thank you, Basketball Reference. So coming into today, the Thunder were giving up 32% of their field goals. 32% of the field goals the Thunder allowed coming into today were coming in the paint. Second highest percentage in the NBA. Knicks are number one. For the most part, it is hard to have a really good defense if you're giving up a ton of shots in the paint. Now, you can figure it out to be good enough. The Thunder have done that. It's partly because Adams is a really good rim protector. Not all the looks that they give up in the paint are that tough. But the problem with that, and the Thunder give up a lot, a little bit out of the rim too. Still in the paint, but a little bit out of the rim. The problem with that is you're going to be susceptible for really bad games. And if you look at it, it's the teams that get to the rim a lot that tends to hurt them. Even though the Thunder actually defend the rim pretty decently, they don't give up a horrible percentage at the rim. If you get to the rim enough, or you're kind of having if normal everyday execution, they were the ninth ranked defense on points allowed per possession coming into this game. It's not like they're a bad defense. But if you're having a night where you're a little bit off and you already give up a bunch of points in the paint, and you're playing, or not necessarily points in the paint, but looks in the paint, you're playing against a team that loves getting to the rim and values its offense around getting to the rim, kind of like Houston does, you're going to have a problem. They also give up the middle of the floor a decent amount. Part of that's on Russell Westbrook. Now, I'm not blaming tonight on Russell Westbrook's defense. Tonight, Roberson was off tonight. A lot of guys were off. But when Russell Westbrook guards point guards, you know, Billy Donovan talks in code a lot. Because Billy never throws his guys under the bus. He just never does it. It's not in his character. He doesn't do that stuff. So Billy talks in code a lot. When they lose, and Billy sometimes uses a code. One of the way to decode is when he talks about that they were giving up middle too much. When they're giving up middle too much, it's usually because Westbrook is dying on screens. When you give up middle, you tend to give up points in the paint too. That's another one of those things too. Starts at the top of your defense. If you're letting guys go middle, it's a lot tougher. Once you're in the middle, that's when you can get to the rim. That's when you can swing to the corner. That's what starts a lot of these swings around the perimeter that get open standstill threes and that kind of stuff. So that's another thing, too. Tonight, Houston was hot. There's no question. Like, you can say the Thunder played bad. It's not that you can say the Thunder played bad defense. The Thunder had a bad defensive game. I actually don't think it was their worst defensive game of the year. I think they've had worse ones. Houston was crazy hot, though. You can't, like, it was insane. The shots that they were hitting, if they're hitting those in an open gym, like, it was crazy. The shots that Lou Williams was hitting, that Ariza was, and you know what? You gotta give something to Harden, too. That guy is so incredible at initiating offense. He is absolutely amazing. The way he initiates offense, the way he got Roberson in foul trouble with those two fouls, and I know people find him annoying. And if you got a rooting interest in that game, I don't blame you. I would find it annoying too. But it's a legitimate strategy, and he is incredible at it. He is unbelievable at drawing fouls. And drawing fouls is 100% a skill. If it weren't, then free throw leaders every single year would vary. It would change every single year. It wouldn't be Harden at the top every single year. It's a skill. And he's the best in the league at it. Normally, Roberson has great discipline. He's really good at keeping his hand into his chest and not reaching and getting called for those fouls. He got called for a few tonight. It hurt him. He wasn't as good. I think that kind of is where it starts. Adams was off. When Roberson and Adams are off, it's all downhill from there. If those two guys aren't playing, that's their defense. Next one from Jason Broyles. I know he came up short on some plays, but I think Abrinas played hard and decent defense. Can he develop into a starter? I think Abrinas definitely has a lot to work on defensively. I think he's a really good shooter. And I do think he can develop into a starter. I absolutely think that can happen. I think we forget sometimes he's a rookie because he's a little bit older. He's 23. Doesn't really carry himself as a rookie. But he's a really good shooter. He's already pretty good at moving off the ball. I think he's better with the ball than maybe he gets credit for. He's not like a lead ball handler or anything. But I would trust him leading a fast break or late in the shot clock, having to create something for himself in an emergency situation. I think that's an acceptable situation for him to put the ball on the floor. Like, he's not totally incapable with it. Defensively, he needs work. He's definitely slender in the chest. He's slender in the everywhere. He's a skinny dude. That would be worrisome defensively, I think. And he's still learning where to be. A lot of the advanced metrics rate him as one of the worst defensive shooting guards in the league right now. Like, defensive RPM has him reeled down. That being said, I think he can get better. He's a rookie. So chances are he'll probably be better than he was in his rookie year. Rookies tend to not be good defenders. So I think that doesn't necessarily project him as this level for the rest of his career. I don't ever see him developing into a real, real defensive player. But I do think he can be a real starter, because I think he could be a really good offensive player. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. The dude can shoot, and he knows how to find space. He knows how to move. He knows how to use screens, and he's better with the ball than people say. Quick thing on Dallas before we go, because back-to-back, the Thunder play in Dallas on Monday. I'll be on a flight, super short flight, from Houston to Dallas Monday morning, heading there. Games at 7:30 Central Time on Monday night. Dallas just beat the Thunder earlier this month in Dallas, 104-89. That was a terrible defensive performance from the Thunder in Dallas. That was about 3 weeks ago. That was a really, really bad defensive performance from them. They were really bad in the perimeter. Andre Robertson, I guess, I didn't realize this at the time. I learned this recently. Andre Robertson apparently tweaked an ankle very early in that game. He's fine now. He was fine the rest of that game too, but he was a little bit hobbled on it during that game. And that's kind of why, like, if you remember, Seth Curry had 22 points in that game and he just kept driving by Robertson. It was weird. It was definitely Robertson's worst defensive game of the year. Apparently that ankle hobbled him a little bit throughout the game, and that was a major contributor to his on-ball defense, so I thought that was a little interesting caveat. That's definitely a matchup to watch, Curry-Robertson, but Dallas has been playing, you know, they're better than the record. They're 31-41, but they're better than the record. They're, I think, 20-14, 20-15 their last 34, 35 games. Starting off 11-27. They've really been winning a lot lately. Dirk is playing well. Coming off a loss to the Raptors, but they beat the Clippers by 2 on Thursday night. Beat the Wizards recently. Beat the Thunder earlier this month. The Grizzlies earlier this month. They've beaten some good teams. They've beaten some real teams. The losses this month, for the most part, some real teams. Golden State, Toronto, a couple times to Toronto. Although, I think they lost to Philly. Oh, yeah, they got killed by Philly. That was a bad one. They got crushed by Philly. But Dallas is solid enough. They've been a top-10 defense since they got Nerlens Noel. That was a good trade for them. That was a really good trade. Nerlens Noel is a player. People forget, or maybe they just didn't even know. His rookie year, Philly, for as bad as they were, they won 18 games that year. Philly had the number 12 ranked defense. And it was because Nerlens Noel was so good on the back line. That was like the number one reason why they had the 12th ranked defense that year. They fell off totally defensively last year. But he can defend and he can lead a defense. And when you're that young and that athletic, and you can be a pick and roll guy, and you can throw down lobs, you can lead a defense. Great trade for Dallas. Really good trade. Showing that he was a 5 all along, never a 4, like he was playing some in Philly. Great trade for Dallas. That first round pick was a fake first rounder. They're going to give up 2 seconds and Justin Anderson for a guy in his early 20s who's already capable of leading a good defense and being a pretty solid offensive player at the 5. That was one of the better trades that Dallas has made in a little while. And they've been a different team since getting him. They were really low defensively. I think they're 7th or 8th, or at least coming into Sunday, they were 7th or 8th in defensive efficiency since he came over. And Rick Carlisle, doing mastermind stuff somehow, has this team like still kind of sort of on the cusp of the playoffs. Denver and Portland are playing pretty well right now. They've each been winning a lot lately, but somehow this team is still like kind of sort of at least mathematically in it, which is Rick Carlisle is a wizard. I will be back with you tomorrow night after the game. Tomorrow night, it's probably going to be a short episode. It's a 7:30 start. I have a 6 a.m. flight to Orlando on Tuesday morning, so I'd like to get more than like an hour of sleep. That would be preferable. But you can remember I am on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head out to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog, and you can see all my Thunder coverage there. That's going to do it for today. Like I said, back tomorrow after the Dallas game for probably an abbreviated episode, but still a real one. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.